Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for this time to gather together and to just really celebrate who you are and just become closer to you, God. So I just lay all this at your feet, God, and thank you for each and every one of our journeys, God, just to become closer to you and be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So this rule of life comes from, the one that I'm going to base my message on is called, this book is called Soul Feast, An Invitation to the Christian Spiritual Life. And so it's kind of like a way to organize all these disciplines. I was going to just talk about fasting, which is not super exciting. I mean, this is exciting too, but it's like, it was really specific, so I thought this is kind of more an umbrella. And so, what is it? It's a pattern of spiritual, the rule of life is a pattern of spiritual disciplines that provides structure and direction for growth and holiness. It's not meant to be restrictive, but rather to establish a rhythm of daily living, a basic order in which freedoms can grow, which takes some commitment. But throughout history, those who have been serious about maturing in their spiritual life have embraced discipline. And so when I hear that, I'm like, embrace discipline. Like, when I first started doing this, I've probably been following my rule of life for probably about 15 years now. And when I first started hearing this word discipline, it felt very daunting to me. Like, oh, well, how does this work? And, you know, there's all these different ones. When do I do it? How do I do it? But I just, you know, we just need to remember that this is a gradual thing for us. And discipline just means training and discipline. And every athlete or musician has to train if they're serious about what they're doing, right? So if we're serious about our spiritual walk, then we need a little bit of guidance, right? And we need support. I think that's more than anything, is this is just to support all of us. And it's not an automatic thing. We, you know, it's not like we're a tree and we just sit and grow. It's not a natural process for us. So it's something that we have to really work at. And I like the way so this is from the book. She says, maturation in faith is like the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly. The caterpillar must yield up the life it knows and submit to the mystery of the interior transformation. It emerges from this process transfigured with wings that give it freedom to fly. Right? So it's this idea of doing these practices, right? And so I have some examples for us. This is Pope John Paul the 23rd. 15 minutes of silent prayer upon rising in the morning. 15 minutes of spiritual reading. Before bed, a general examination of conscience, followed by confession. Then identifying issues for the next morning's prayer. Arranging the hours of the day, which I thought was interesting. This guy can arrange the hours of the day. It's pretty good. Arranging the hours of the day to make this rule possible, setting aside specific time for prayer, study, recreation, and sleep. Mind you, this is when he was a student in seminary, right? So this is when he was completely dedicated to all of this. So making a habit of turning the mind to God in prayer. And then she had Martin Luther King Jr.'s in here, which I thought was really cool because I hadn't read this in a while. I hadn't looked at this again, and I think a few of you know that our school has been, we've started training on racial equity work, and it's been probably the hardest work I've ever done, probably the best work I've ever done, I think, with students, but it's been really, really hard, and so I started reading a book called Strength to Love, and it's a collection of Martin Luther King sermons, and it's been so encouraging because I just thought, gosh, if he was, you know, right in the middle of all this and speaking to his people about loving his enemies when he had these real enemies, I thought, okay, then I can do it too, you know. So I've been really encouraged, and it's been really, really hard. But this was he had all of his demonstrators agree to this before they demonstrated, but meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. Remember always that the nonviolent movement in Birmingham seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. Walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love. Pray daily to be used by God in order that all might be free. Sorry. Observe with both friend and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. Seek to perform regular service of others and the world. Refrain from violence of fist, tongue, or heart. Strive to be in good spiritual and bodily health, and follow the directions of the movement and the captains of the demonstration. So I thought that was really cool that was there, and that's something that's close to my heart right now. And so then I threw in mine. Yeah, this is my very good friend Terry. I haven't seen her in a long time. I'm glad she's here. So I think a lot of you know that on my way to work, I've started praying for all the kids of Neighborhood Church. Like when Isaiah started going to preschool, I started praying for him and his teachers and his school. And then when we got Anaya, I started praying for her school and her class and her teacher. And then I just one morning just kind of kept going, and I thought, okay, this is very cool. And so I just started praying for all the kids, like on my way to work. It's about 20 minutes and it gets me right to work. So it's kind of been my little daily practice of prayer in the morning. And so that's been something that's been really, really, I don't know, life-giving for me in the morning. And then at nighttime, I do these forgiveness prayers. My auntie has this like whole long thing of prayers, and she thought Jordan would benefit from it if I prayed like on behalf of him. And so I've been doing that, and it's been benefiting me too. I can pray for her, him, and Anaya, and then with my own dad too. I do a weekly fast. That kind of varies the day, but it's breakfast and lunch, and I been doing that for a while. I had a group of people that I did it with, which was helpful when a few of us did it. So if anyone's interested, that's really fun. And then on Sundays, I like to do like an extended time of quiet time. I mean, this, of course, varies all the time, right? Like just depending on what season you're in and if you have little kids or, you know, whatever. It kind of, you know, changes with, you know, how things are going for you. But I know God honors every little bit, you know, we give to him. Attending our church gathering, that's one. And then twice a month, I meet with a women's small group. I have a little shameless plug there on Thursdays, 6:30 to 8. And then the fourth Friday of the month is this celebration called the River. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, but it's, that's right. And it's through Sanctuary Church in Concord, and they do this really cool, just, what is it, like an hour and a half, 2 hours of just singing and worshiping and prayer, and kids are drawing, and it's a really, really fun like celebration time. I really love it. Yearly, I used to go on a Lent retreat with my old church, but I've kind of kept up with Lent, a fast of dedicating something that time. But this one changes all the time. I've given up like listening to the radio in my car, you know, like just needed more quiet time at that time. So it's like just little things that I could do to kind of just slow down during this time before Easter. So let's see, how did I want to do this? So I guess like So by this time, you're either excited about this or overwhelmed about it. But I think we just need to really, you know, keep in mind that there's a balance for everything, right? And that there's personal rules of, you know, of life, and then corporate practices too. Like, this is, you know, this is one that we do. And then I really like how she had, when you're thinking about developing your own, thinking about ones that help you look into your own heart, and then practices that help you to forget yourself and to serve others. So I think it's kind of that we always have to keep that balance of not getting too into our own self and then not taking care of ourselves at all. So it's kind of this fine line we have to walk. But when you're thinking about this, there's these three basic questions that she puts in here, and it says, what am I deeply attracted to and why? And where do I feel God calling me to stretch and grow, right? Because some of them we're really attracted to because that's our personality, right? Like, that's what we're just drawn to, which is a good thing. It's not that that's bad, but sometimes we just get kind of stuck and then we're not growing. So it's also a good idea to think about what are the ones that maybe we aren't so attracted to, right? And why is that? And then what kind of balance do I need in my life with that? Talking about that self-care and then that service. And then once we've really established that, we really need to keep ourselves accountable, because it's really easy to just kind of get off track, right? If nobody really knows we're doing this. So writing it down is helpful. Not that it's set in stone, but something that can help guide you, because you've written it down and you can kind of commit to writing in it. Also sharing it with someone you love and trust, so that way they can help keep you accountable. I think Rick a while ago encouraged us to have an accountability partner, so this might be something that you could talk to your accountability partner with. And then seek support from your faith community. I know any of these specific ones I've been practicing for a long time, I'd love to talk to any of you about it. And I know Rick loves to talk about this stuff, so track him down. So this is not really my style of teaching, sitting and talking a lot, because I'm a language teacher, so I'm very student-centered. So I thought we would take some time and think about, right, our role of life. And so I gave you these disciplines or practices. They're all from, like, they're organized from a book called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And so you should all have a backside. But it, yeah, yours, you look like you don't have a backside.
Yeah, I got one. I got a backside.
Anybody else?
I got a backside.
So I thought we could spend some time just a little bit just being quiet and looking and first just thinking about, you know, which ones are you attracted to, right? That's a good place to start if this is really foreign to you, and then we'd spend a little bit of time thinking about those ones that are challenging. Okay, so I thought we could spend a few minutes doing that now, and then we could talk with a partner in a small group. And being quiet and having solitude time has really benefited me, especially in my job, because I'm a teacher, and so I have to be in front of people all the time, and so really learning to have that time with God, I really can get my energy back that way. So that's been a huge practice of mine. I used to really have a lot of migraines and be really sick all the time, but it was also a practice in saying no too. Like, that was part of it too, and saying yes to God, saying to that time, carving out that time for God to be quiet. So that's a huge one in my life, is the silence and solitude. The other one with fasting, I noticed that it's like the one thing that gets my attention. Like, I feel like there's, you know, I have everything at my fingertips, and, you know, it's really easy to forget about God during the day, or, you know, going about my way. But when I haven't had food, like, I really am, like, can really tune into Him and really know that I have to depend on Him for everything that day, and set an intention and have scripture, like, all throughout the day, because or else I'll just be a mess. But it's interesting, because I've noticed those days that I just really need to humble myself. And if I can really humble myself and submit to Him, those are the days when I have the most patience, and I'm so gentle, and I'm surprised every time, because I'm like, okay, God, I'm gonna fast, but I might not. So I just have to throw that out there to God, give Him like a little disclaimer. I'm like, I might get hungry and eat. But every time, it's like, He sustains me every time. And I'm just like the person like who He's made me to be, because I'm so dependent on Him that day. And it's like, He's just this gentle, like, loving God. And that's how I am with my students. And I'm like, who is that? Like, that's amazing. And it's because, like, I've just had this practice. And every time, like, gets me through. I'm like, yep, that's You, God. And so just learning how faithful God is, and that he's never gonna reject us. Because for me, like, that's a huge thing too, is like this, I think, you know, he's gonna reject me, and every time never does. Like, and that's just like this practice that I just have to lean into. These practices to know that He's there and He's faithful, and every time it's just speaking those words to me that I'm His, and it's just how I get through, and am able to love people the way that I do, because I'm so filled with Him. So I hope that answered. Helped. Okay. Take a couple minutes.